If this day of national celebration for the people of the United States is a wonderful opportunity, a blessed occasion for recalling and more consciously sharing certain ideals and dreams and commitments and hopes, and of course it is that, if it is that, then we might be grateful for the convergence of this civic feast this year on a Sunday, and in particular, converging with these beautiful readings we've just heard, because I think it's very easy to see them as a call to us to reflect afresh on our citizenship in the kingdom of God, to get a renewed appreciation of what it means to be God's children, to, in fact, get a hold of the very meaning of life itself, the very meaning of being a person, a human being, in a social context with other people. It is an opportunity to reflect on the meaning of God, the human person, creation, and the interrelatedness of it all, which obviously, inevitably, if we were to deepen that appreciation, would mean, necessarily, becoming more fully and more clearly citizens of whatever country, by God's grace and historical accident, we may enjoy citizenship. The first reading can be seen clearly without having to twist the words at all as a call from the prophet way back in the Old Testament telling people what the kingdom of God is like, how it would be if God were the leader of the nations, if God were the ruler of the secular order. And the prophet says, God will come and sweep away all the instruments of war. God will come with peace and justice and compassion for the people, and they in turn will live and walk in that spirit. God would put an end to war and hostility, to jealousy and human competition that means winning at the price of another. God would come to establish a kingdom of peace and justice and equanimity among all the people. In the second reading, Paul reminds the Romans and us today that if we would be authentic citizens of the kingdom, then we must live and walk in the Spirit of God, which we understand better and are more responsible to experience and to celebrate because we've come to know intimately that Spirit in the person of Jesus. If we would be in any realistic and authentic sense of the word free, I mean really, really free, and therefore fully human, then it must be in the Spirit of God, in the Spirit of Jesus. Only thus can a people proclaim and celebrate their independence from oppression, from false motivation, from unworthy deeds and plans and intrigues. Only in the Spirit of Jesus. And then in the Gospel, Jesus speaks, not merely clarifying what precedes, but Jesus is in fact the truth of God, made real, made person, made up close, made flesh and blood. And Jesus spells it out for us. And it's a wonderful warning to all the people of God in all the ages, and has a special, you might say, immediate relevance for us as citizens of what seems to be undisputably the richest and most advantaged nation in the history of the world. Jesus says the truth, the reality of it all, will be revealed by God not to the clever, the wise, the sophisticated, but in fact the real truth of the meaning of life, of humanity, of being a godly people will be revealed to little children, and the would-be wise and clever will really understand what life is all about, what people are and mean, and how we're related to God, will grasp this and be able to celebrate it only to the extent we can approach it freely like little kids approach a new experience, willing to learn something new, to see things differently. And then Jesus goes on further to tell us what kind of God we have, what sort of people we in turn must be, when he says, learn from me. You be as I am. And I am meek and humble of heart, not ambitious, not wanting to lord it over other people. No, I'm tender, I'm sweet. And in saying this, it's so exciting, if you can understand it, that it's not just a description of the greatest guy that ever lived. Jesus is the reality of God present in our midst. In other words, what you need to understand, what is so vital for us to grasp, is that this self-description of Jesus is a description of the deity, of the divine. Jesus isn't just saying, I'm a child of God and I'm an awfully nice and loving and caring person. Jesus is saying God is love, compassion, forgiveness, tenderness. Don't be afraid of God. Be willing to be gathered up by God in love and absolutely unbelievable, tender, caring embrace. That says a lot to us on a day like this, if we're willing. Telling us what kind of people we ought to be as citizens of any country, and in particular for those of us who have the blessing of citizenship in this country, with its in so many ways glorious and in others rather inglorious history. It's so helpful to us to be called back by Jesus to understand the essential realities, to be confronted with the wondrous reality of our God and the obvious, necessary implication of being a godly people, children of God, citizens first and foremost of God's kingdom in the Spirit of Jesus. So, I would say today, as always, it's our hope and our prayer that we remember again what it means to be Christian, and we start being more fully what we've been reminded to be. Today, it has that nice added dimension, so immediate for us, in the light of this national holiday, this celebration of our freedom, our independence. We are challenged then by the scriptures and by Jesus to figure out what it really means to be an American, to be a citizen, a worthy citizen of this country. Just last week, only miles away, a man twice convicted of a heinous crime against an innocent child, condemned to death, was, albeit so tragically, belatedly, set free from prison because, by the blessing of modern science, through DNA technology, they discovered he was innocent of the crime of which he was charged. Were it not for that bit of modern technology, he would surely die as an act of justice by a society that proclaims itself committed to freedom and justice for all. Which is to say, a man, by an accident of modern technology, was freed whom our nation would have righteously put to death. This happened in a country. We must face it together on this 4th of July. This happened in a country where the majority of the citizens, not of the people gathered here, of course. Yeah. the beautiful, loving, compassionate people gathered here accepted, but the majority of the people of this country still making it very clear whenever a poll is taken or a point of view is sought, the majority of the people here still believe in capital punishment as a righteous way of dealing with criminal behavior. Notwithstanding this latest piece of evidence that that system, at its best, will put innocent people to death. How does that square with citizenship in the kingdom of God? Last week, a group of innocent children at innocent play in a swimming pool were fired upon and wounded. Thank God, none killed in that particular incident, but another manifestation of the madness going on in our society. The present speculation, at least, the latest police reports suggest it was one of the bitter fruits, one of the ugly consequences of this drug-infested society which is driving people crazy to utter madness. And this happened in the capital city of this nation, where to this moment, unbelievably small allocations of our national wealth are being devoted to drug rehabilitation and the effort to recapture and reclaim the humanity and the personal dignity of so many people broken in spirit and mind and body, while at the same time, the prisons are constantly more and more crowded so that it's impossible for even conscientious prison tenders to treat all the inmates like full-fledged human beings. I speak with a special sensitivity there, having gotten involved a little more than ever before in our local system of incarceration. It is to ask of God a miracle beyond all description, to expect that the people we imprison would, in any kind of significant number, come out more human or ready to participate in a just society. Last week, another deranged man, armed to the teeth with weapons whose very existence, it seems to me, hard to justify being manufactured, a man armed with horrendous weapons, entered, as it were, into the marketplace, invaded into an innocent working place, and slaughtered 8 people. It is hard for us to remember the long litany of similar tragic incidents, and yet, to this day, in this country, in this proud nation of ours, the National Rifle Association, with its insistence on the right to bear arms, continues to be a stronger lobby than all the peace lobbies put together. It is widely conceded, I believe, widely conceded, that our president whose popularity was slipping badly, sort of almost instantly upgraded his standing with the people by lobbing some missiles on Baghdad. Well, I'll leave it to the military experts to discuss in detail the righteousness or the necessity of that, but somehow or other, at least, as a primordial Christian, I find it a little disturbing when politicians find the easiest way to increase popularity is the use of force and arms, even though inevitably innocent people will have to die. In any case, career military politician, innocent school child, whoever, whatever you are, I can say this to you without hesitation or equivocation: that and every other act of national politics or polity must, if we are going to be authentic Christians, be reconciled with the reality of a Jesus who embodies the God reality in our midst, who says, love your enemies and do good to them that persecute you. I didn't make up that challenge. It's just put right in our faces again today. Among the most treasured compliments I've ever received in 30 years of preaching, and I assure you, not all the comments are complimentary, but among the most treasured compliments I've ever received is from my colleague and confrere, Father Kelly, who tells me that from time to time he reminds people of what I almost obsessively say in my own preaching. We are an odd lot, a funny bunch, we Christians. We are, one could almost say, a little bit weird. Because we say with virtual ease that we believe in a God who is at once one yet three persons. Seems no problem. We believe in incarnation, God intimately involved in human flesh and the person of Jesus. Amen. We believe in virgin birth and immaculate conception, and we spend virtually none of our time arguing over these incomprehensible doctrines. We accept them, but to this day we cannot accept the simple truth that God is love, and we are forgiven without having to earn it at all. That's the thing we won't believe. And as long as we consider ourselves still somehow culprit before our God, then we're left free, in a weird use of the word free, to continue counting others guilty and holding them accountable. If we really believed in the unconditioned, absolutely all-embracing forgiveness and redemption of our God in the person of Jesus, we could not logically, reasonably, continue to harbor in ourselves vindictive, hostile, unforgiving attitudes or dispositions toward anyone. Jesus says, learn of me, for I, the ultimate victim, the one humiliated beyond any and all the humiliations of all the other humans who ever lived, I forgive my persecutors. Learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. I who can claim the title Lord of heaven and earth, I am humble, I am forgiving, I am caring, I am not only compassionate, I am compassion myself. It seems to me that in a slight, if you will, variation on that truth, that we can never quite believe that God could be so unconditionally forgiving, and therefore we're left free to be less than forgiving ourselves. We are unable, whether as citizens of the kingdom of God or as citizens of this particular nation, we are unable to achieve and to celebrate and to share with the rest of the world our belief in a nation that founds itself on the strength of human love, of human compassion. We can't quite believe it, therefore we can't quite share it, sign it, and send it forth to transform the world as we've been called to do. But if in fact, I put this question to you, if in fact it is the truth, and that truth is essentially repeated in this day's liturgy, if it is a fact that God is compassion himself, if it is a fact that God is all forgiving, if it is a fact that God loves the sinners and the just alike, if those are facts, and I personally believe them to be more than fact, they are the very articles of my faith, if this be so, then can it ever be justified for any person, let alone any nation of imperfect people, to be less than compassionate, forgiving, relentlessly caring, and tender and humble of heart? I feel that the liturgy this day, as always, and this national observance, this national feast, as it does annually, both call us today to reassess, to understand more fully, and to enter more deeply in spirit into the meaning of our citizenship in the kingdom of God and our citizenship in this nation, so blessed and so gifted by God to do good. I simply observe that the clever and the wise will often assure us of other answers, but only in Jesus, who is meek, humble of heart, who is the reflection of God, only in him at last will we find the truth and be fully free, and both as Christians and as patriots, in the sense that Jesus meant, find rest in our hearts.